Hello, FCS Nation. It's finally time for your show once again. The offseason is over. It's time for FCS college football. I am so excited. I know my co-host Stone Labanowitz is excited. Stone, it's been a long offseason, but we're here. Week zero, the college football season. Man, I am ready to go.
You could tell when we dropped our preseason poll, all of the discourse. Like, I think there's more discourse this season than there has been in recent history. And for that, I'm super, super excited. Honestly, I think a little more than last year.
We're going to talk to Michael Barker at CFB Campus Tour on Twitter. This dude is a savage. If you don't know who he is, you're in for a treat. And if you do, man, wait till you hear his update. He had one of the best trips he's ever had. And he's coming to an FCS city near you this football season. Well, Stone, we always started off with the top 25 poll. This is the FCS Nation preseason top 25. Number one, North Dakota State. Number two, South Dakota State. Number three, Montana State. Number four, South Dakota. And rounding out the top five, the Idaho Vandals. There may be a surprise team in our top five that others don't have. I think Idaho is going to be better than most people do.
When Idaho has a quarterback and somebody behind center that the town, the city, the building is confident in, this team is really good. And you talked about the discrepancy between where we have them and where other polls that maybe our audience or just the general public has seen. We have them all the way up there. And a lot of people are going to find out why here real soon.
Wood is a player, and I can't wait for the rest of the country to see it. Number six, the Montana Grizzlies. Number seven, Tarleton State. Number eight, Illinois State. Number nine, the Mercer Bears. And rounding out the top 10, Villanova. I think the main surprise here in this one is probably Tarleton being as high as they are. But Stone, this is going to be a theme today. Teams that have experienced returning quarterbacks, and boy howdy, does Tarleton State have one of those. Number 11, Incarnate Word. Number 12, Rhode Island. Number 13, the Southern Illinois Salukis. Number 14, UC Davis. And rounding out the top 15, the Richmond Spiders. Huge game for Richmond in week one. They move to a new conference, the Patriot League, leaving the CAA. They match up with Lehigh, not this week, but next week. And UC Davis, a lot of people are higher on them than we are. And the reason being, experienced quarterback. UC Davis doesn't really have one. They're going to start a redshirt freshman this week in the FCS kickoff against Mercer. And Pennick may end up being a hell of a player. But the Big Sky Conference and the FCS this year, there's going to be a lot of dudes trying to do on-the-job training at the quarterback position. And that's tough to do, Stone. You better pack a lunch if that's in your job description.
You're damn right. And I don't want to say this 5-6 minutes into the show, but I think the Big Sky was last season's Missouri Valley. Again, kind of speaking in hyperbole. But yeah, you cannot learn on the fly in the Big Sky this year. It's just not going to fly.
Number 16, the Western Carolina Catamount. Number 17, Sacramento State. Number 18, the Chattanooga Mox. Number 19, Monmouth. And number 20, Stony Brook. Stone, in this group, there's some intriguing ball clubs. Western Carolina, Cole Gonzalez is gone. He's now going to start for the Pittsburgh Panthers. Not the Steelers, the Panthers of the FBS, the Pitt Panthers. And Sacramento State, that whole program is really interesting right now. Bryn Marion, fresh new head coach there. They got almost an entirely new team in Sacramento. The Hornets are going to be a team to watch. It's going to be entertaining no matter what happens, that's for sure. And Stony Brook at number 20. Billy Koch should have won National Coach of the Year last year. It is a shame that the people who vote in that sort of a thing, they couldn't even have voted for him if they wanted to. It's an indictment on how that thing is run, and Billy Koch is the National Coach of the Year from last year as far as I'm concerned. I know you feel the same way, but now he's got to back it up in year two, and Stony Brook's going to start out number 20 in the country in the FCS Nation preseason top 25.
Yeah, criminal's pretty accurate there, Kev. We don't have to get into that. We've addressed that before, but hopefully they don't make the same exact mistakes. This pocket right here that we just talked about, 15 to 20, is my favorite of the bunch. Sac State, I mean, God knows, we could sit here and do an entire episode on them and their expectations, but you hit on Western Carolina. Listen, Cole Gonzalez is gone, but I think if you were to ask any student who goes to that school, anybody on staff, they're confident, and majority of them more than confident in Teron Dickens. Teron Dickens, a quarterback at Western from Carolina, who is going to obliterate scoreboards this season. And when I'm not speaking in hyperbole there. There are going to be games, multiple games, where he has 500 plus yards. So keep an eye on Teron Dickens, number 5, Western Carolina. He's a ball player.
Number 21, Lehigh. Number 22, East Tennessee State. Number 23, Tennessee Tech. Number 24 is Jackson State. And number 25 is UT Mart. Of this group, they're all going to be pretty good football teams, I think. But I think the group with the highest upside is Tennessee Tech, Stone. Bobby Wilder is their head coach. They have just announced that they're going to join the Southern Conference starting next year. They care about winning there. A new stadium is being constructed as we speak. Tennessee Tech, they're building something there.
Kevin, I do think you have to mention East Tennessee State, though. This is a spot where you watched a guy like Cade McNamara get ran out of town for our very own Mark Gronowski. He joins the Bucks, right? Oh, no. Well, it's not just Cade McNamara. You have two FBS transfer quarterbacks coming and battling for that job, and things have got wonky if you've been following, so I think that's a team that I personally will have my eyes on, but I agree with you. I think Tech is going to be a handful for easily more than half of their schedule in the 2025 season. I think they're ones that we put there on purpose because we know that they can climb the ranks and do it quickly, especially schedules permitted.
I mean, as far as ETSU is concerned, they just still got the one football and one guy can throw it at a time, right?
Yeah, nothing's changed. Jacoby Criswell and, like I mentioned, Cade McNamara. Yeah, football's football. There's 11 guys on the field and only one of them gets to play quarterback.
And don't forget, you can always find our top 25 from the preseason to Nashville at FCSNationRadio.com. Just click on that icon at the top.
Kevin, now that you finished rattling off FCS Nation's top 25 preseason poll, there were a few schools, a few spots that we had on where we took a lot of flack, not that we give a damn, from the public on, and I kind of want you to address and clear up the air on those. I'll start with Mercer. Not a lot of people had Mercer in their top 10. Tell me why Mercer is a bona fide contender, not just a team that can play in the SoCon, but a contender to do it all. Why is Mercer in your top 10?
DJ Smith returns at quarterback, and he gives Mercer an added dimension that they didn't really have after he went down with an injury last year. Mercer is a deep team, and this is a squad that the SoCon is going to be tough like it always is, Stone. People say, you know, there's no weeks off on our schedule. Well, the SoCon kind of proves that every year. So what Mercer needs to do, if they want to be the type of football team I believe they are capable of doing, man, you can't lose that game to Samford like you did last year. You have got to go through the Southern Conference unscathed, get a high seed, and pray that you can get one of these Dakotas or Montanas at your place in the playoff, because we all know going out there and trying to beat them isn't easy.
Kevin, another one that stands out to me, Incarnate Word. Go around the country, a few people, few groups, not naming any names, have the Cardinals in their top 5. Kevin, FCS Nation Radio preseason poll has Incarnate Word at 11. Why is that?
Well, Stone, they weren't a top 5 team last year in my eyes with Zach Calzada at quarterback. Now, Torres played 2 years ago in relief duty and was quite good, actually. And they brought in a lot of pieces, Incarnate Word did. But in my mind, this is a definition of a prove-it team. And in my mind, if you're not coming from the Missouri Valley or the Big Sky Conference, and as much as I want to say the Southern Conference, but that would be a lie, not true. If you're not coming from one of those two leagues, you have got to whip the opponents from your conference that aren't the other top team in your conference. And Incarnate Word just hasn't done that. They didn't do that last year. They struggled against some teams that you scratch your head and go, why is this a 3-point game with 9 minutes to go? That happened repeatedly last year. And when they matched up with the good teams on their schedule, well, in Brookings, twice, they got their doors blown absolutely off. So I just don't think that this is a team right now. And I'd love to be wrong about it, but I don't think this is a team right now that's worthy of that type of a ranking. And hint, why they're not there.
South Dakota State. You have them at number 2 instead of Montana State. 98% of polls, you're going to find that there, have Montana State at 2. Kevin, why do you have the Jacks at 2?
Chase Mason. I think this kid is going to light the FCS on fire this year. And I like the fact that he stuck around. He sat behind Mark Gronowski, greatest quarterback to ever play at South Dakota State University. He was never going to overtake Mark Gronowski. But they used him in smart ways, got him on the field. So he does have some experience. I believe Chase Mason is going to be a fine player this season for the Jackrabbits. And I like the hire of Dan Jackson as their head coach. It's no secret that you and I are both big fans of Jason Eck, and Dan Jackson was ex-defensive coordinator in Idaho. last year. So, you know, anybody that's a friend of X and played defense the way Idaho did last year, I think the Jackrabbits program is in good hands. I'm expecting a lot out of them this year with a lot of new faces.
I do as well. Kevin, as you mentioned, as we got rolling here, Michael Barker waiting for us on the other side. So what do you say we jump to a break and bring Michael Barker onto the show?
That's outstanding, Stone. We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Very pleased to introduce a very good friend of this program, Mr. Michael Barker, at CFB Campus Tour on Twitter. And y'all, Mike takes a lot of trips, but this last one was a doozy, and I wanted everybody in FCS Nation to hear about it. Big reason why: Mike is a cool dude, and he's my friend, and I don't have many. So welcome into the program, Michael Barker. Glad to have you back, dude.
Hey, thank you for the introduction, Kevin. Stone, great to be with you guys. Last time I saw you guys was in Frisco for the national championship, so good to be talking with you again and get back into FCS football.
So where in Alaska did you go see a high school football game, Mike? And describe to us what it was like just getting there.
So I went to a town called Ukiagvik, which is the northernmost point in the United States. It's 300 miles above the Arctic Circle, and there's a high school named Barrow High, who is famous for having a blue turf field, which is on a small strip of land situated between a lake and the Arctic Ocean. And so every time, if you travel a lot to stadiums, you ask open-ended questions, what's your favorite bucket list, where are you trying to go? All the time, people drop a photo of this field, and you haven't been anywhere until you go there. So I've been messaging with some of the coaches up there for the off season. They let me know there was a game 1 week before the college season. And so they made the trip up to Ukiagvik last week. What it took was San Francisco to Seattle to Anchorage and then to Ukiagvik. Stayed there Thursday. There's, you know, no cell phone service. The roads aren't paved because it's too cold. The asphalt freezes. 3 mile walk, which I did from the hotel to the stadium. Once you get there, no cell phone service. The most isolated football field in the entire United States. And it was incredible. Shot a lot of great videos. Took a lot of great pictures. It kind of blew up on Twitter over this last weekend, and to be able to check that off my bucket list, not have to hear that question about when are you going to go, and still have the full college football season to go forward to, yeah, it was a dream come true.
FCS Nation, we're joined by Mr. Michael Barker at CFB Campus Tour on Twitter. Give him a follow if you don't. I imagine most of you already do. Mike, you've been to a ball game at every FBS stadium. That's crossed off your list. The next thing you want to do is get to a game at every FCS stadium. Where are you? What number are you at entering the season? And where can people see you early on in the 2025 campaign?
So currently I'm at 93 of 129. That number on the back end keeps changing as teams go up and down, but 36 away. The last 2 years, I've done 17 new schools per year. So that's 34. I feel like with extra weeks and then next year, the FCS is playing a full schedule on week zero, it might be possible. But currently I have 14 schools confirmed on my schedule for this year with 4 to 5 open slots. Early in the year, week one, really lucky to have these weeknight games. So Thursday, week one is going to be Lindenwood at St. Thomas, first time there. Friday is going to be Monmouth at Colgate. And then Saturday, I'm going to do Southern at Mississippi Valley State, which will be number 19 out of 21 for FCS HBCUs. And then week three, West Georgia. And week four, I'll stop there, but that's 3 in 1 day in the or 3 in 1 trip on the Northeast. Friday, Columbia at Lafayette, and then a Saturday doubleheader. I always try to do 2 games on Saturday. It's Penn at Stonehill at 1 p.m. and Central Connecticut State at Merrimack at 6 p.m.
Michael, for everybody listening right now who thinks this guy's a psychopath, take us through an off season. Do you take some time to go on vacation with family member to relax? Kind of take us through a Michael Barker off season.
Yeah, Michael Barker off season really consists basis of trying to make money to support this endeavor that I do. Is there downtime? Yes. I try to work out. I try to travel a little bit and do some non-football travel. I talk about when I travel, it's almost like scouting missions because I can't stay in a place for long enough to truly investigate it and explore it. And so Hawaii, I like going to Hawaii and California. You can take the Southwest flight. It's like $129 each way. So maybe I'll go there. But once I get the R&R and recover, it takes about 3 or 4 weeks. Then we're focused on making money. I'm a real estate appraiser trying to do as much work as I can during the off season to save to pay for my travel in the fall and, you know, reconnect with family. If you're trying to date, I put myself on dating apps and you can't do it during the season because you're gone literally every Saturday night for 4 months. So try to do that again. So it's really it's an interesting contrast between football season and non-football season. But I try to take care of myself, be good to myself. But in my mind, I'm like you guys. I'm always thinking about football.
Now, clear it up for some people, Michael, right? This is not posh hotels every weekend, getting your mani and pedi done in the spa. This is Hotel Toyota Camry. This is sleeping in airports. I mean, you do this thing out your own pocket, and it's not a vacation. It's a job for you, isn't it?
It is a job. And, you know, fortunately, I have made some connections. I have some brand deals that have popped up over the last year or two, but nothing that is going to pay for this thing. And so I have hashtag glamour life, which is sarcastic because it's exactly what you're talking about. If a football game ends at 10 p.m. and you have a flight the next morning at 6 a.m. and the airport is 3 hours away, there's no point in getting a hotel. And so your car becomes your hotel. I always put the word hotel in front of it. So it's Hotel Camry, Hotel Jeep Cherokee, but you can save a lot of money. I went to 104 college football games last year. Let's say a hotel is $100, which is low. That's $10,400 you're saving in a 4 month period. And so I try to do that. I try to take the early flights. I try to drive in between games as much as possible. You know, I mentioned that week 4 going to Lafayette, Stonehill, Merrimack. That's knocking out 3 games with not having to get on a plane. So it's not glamorous, but I'm telling you, you can stay in the posh Ritz-Carlton and you could go to 1 game per Saturday, 13 games in a year, and you would have a good time. Or you can go to 75, 80 games, forego hotels, forego some of the great amenities that you're talking about, and really immerse yourself in the college football landscape. And that's what I've chosen to do.
Dude, you're a savage. There's no doubt in my mind.
I mean, you guys know it, that the FCS is something that needs it. We want to expose people to it. And me, I feel like I'm an ambassador for the FCS in a lot of ways. And so we're going to grind and show people that this is a great place to check out football.
It's a pretty awesome perspective right there, Michael. You talked about the FCS needing a little more light shown on it. Has that become a play? Has it become something that originally you weren't anticipating? But like you said, as the platform grows, and as you just continue to check these boxes that, damn, I'm a legit ambassador for the football championship subdivision, a subdivision that needs, like I said, a little more light shown on it. Has that become a play for you in a sense? Or is it just happening organically?
I love FCS football. And the way that it happened was that the spring season in 2021, when COVID pushed the season back, it had me focus on that season entirely. I went to 29 games in the spring. I followed the whole playoff bracket. I went to South Dakota State for a semifinal. I went to Frisco. It was a great game between SDSU and Sam Houston State, and I fell in love with it. And when I realized I had made progress on getting towards all the schools, then I really committed to it. But the main driver for me is that the more that FBS goes in the NFL junior direction, the more I'm repulsed by that. And it has really, I've sought out an option, and the FCS has presented all the option that I've been looking for. It's about football. It's about the stadiums. It's about the fans. And I don't care how much money. I mean, I'm not saying I don't want players to get theirs. I do, but I will watch college football, you know, Alabama, LSU. If you put JUCO players in those uniforms, I'll still watch because it's about the programs and the stadiums. And so FCS is just that sweet spot of there's great talent. I mean, we see guys, Efton Chisholm III is tearing up the preseason for the Patriots. He didn't even get drafted. We see these things all the time. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers 2021 Super Bowl team had like 13 players on the roster from FCS. So Tom, commissioner from Big Sky, he always tweets, you can get there from here. And I totally believe it. So to answer your question, I think that both I made a commitment to diving into FCS football, but it's just been the reciprocation and the love and the satisfaction that I get from watching it. I'm totally bought in.
Well, Michael, as you travel around the country, people are going to ask you, where's your favorite? But give us a top five FCS fan experience.
So you have to start with the Montanas, Montana State, Washington Grizzly, the Mecca. Meet Kevin, you and I, we went to the Brawl of the Wild in 2021, and we got to stand on top of the press box, and it was, you know, overcast and snow on the mountain, and I literally tweeted out a video and said, this is a spiritual experience, and it felt that way. I went to Montana State twice for playoff games, once in 2021, and then last year, they were beating Idaho. I think they were, you know, had a 40-point lead, and it was the fourth quarter, and those fans wanted blood, and I just was like, this is big-time environment, so you got to go with the Montanas. You know, I had the privilege last year, I went to the SWAC Championship, Jackson State, and they've led the FCS in attendance for how many years, and to be able to see them play Southern and get 45,000 people in one of the most iconic stadiums, the Vet in Jackson, Mississippi. That was amazing. You talk about the Idahos, the Kibbe Dome just has such a cult following, and the fact that they can be voted in the top 25 of ESPN stadiums in all of college football is amazing. So I didn't mention it, but I'm going there week two for their home opener. So those are three that jump out. Other ones would be
You got to say Citadel in Southern Illinois to keep the people on this show.
Okay, all right, that's true. I did go. So you and I went to the Citadel. We went to a game versus Samford, and you gave me the VIP experience. And then I went to Southern Illinois' playoff game either last year or the year before they played Nicholls. Won that.
Michael, did you ever get to see Stone Labanowitz play in person? Because heard people say that their eyes have seen a lot of things, but they ain't never really seen nothing exactly like that.
So I didn't see Stone in person, but I do remember watching, the game at South Dakota State.
That's correct.
Yeah, and just I was extremely impressed, you know, putting this team on his back and damn near pulling out a victory there in Brookings. So I think I started with FCS travel maybe the year he was a senior or the year after he graduated. But I remember him playing. He's a dog. Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. And Kevin hated that you just answered that honestly. So I actually really appreciate that, Michael. Okay, listen. So to go back to what Kevin had just asked, your top five. I know you don't want to put anybody on blast, but I think it's a fun game we can play too, just for the audience. Can you give a description of your worst travel experience, of your worst game day experience, and some of the things that you had to go through, and see if a lot of the FCS junkies can try to pick out where it was on their own? You don't have to say it out loud.
Man, I would have to pick any place where there's no vibe. It's hard. Last year I did a Northeast doubleheader, and we'll try to, I guess we're not naming particular schools, but there was no atmosphere, and I get it because it's not a highly sought after game, but you want that feeling for recruits, for me being, you know, me personally, I'm trying to amplify the game on social media. And so if I can show people that this is an exciting place, I built up some credibility with my account. If I can showcase this place properly, people will want to go. So I would say that any place that doesn't have, like, know how to present the game day experience and make the best of what you got. Just because you're not a top 25 team, just because you're not an FCS playoff team every year, doesn't mean that you can't make your stadium experience fun. It doesn't mean you can't promote your players. It also means that there are several FCS schools that don't even tweet during the offseason. And so that is something that people can improve. So I haven't had a particular negative experience where I never wanted to go again, but there are levels to the experience that you have, and it's based on what you see in the stadium, in my opinion.
This guy's media trained now, Kev. We cannot crack him any longer. Been doing too many interviews.
If you asked me the FBS question, I would have said all the NFL stadiums. That's what I would have said. So,
well, Michael, that's going to do it for us. I know Kevin appreciates your time just as much as I do. Good luck the rest of the way. Just one more time for ear-popping sake. What number are we at, and how many do we have left to go?
We're at 93 with 36 to go. The hope is to do 18 this year and 18 next year and be the only person in the world to have seen a game at every FCS school.
30 plus more to go. Michael, seriously, can't thank you enough for hanging out with us. And the rest of you guys, FCS Nation, we're going to get Mike out of here, because when we come back, me and Kev just want to talk about how much of a lunatic Michael is. That's what we're doing. You're listening to FCS Nation Radio on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's now time for the preview segment. Normally, this is where Stone Labanowitz and I take a quick trip all over FCS Nation and preview the biggest games taking place in the country. This week in week zero, well, we got five games, Stone. Five games, pretty good slate, some pretty good matchups. I don't believe there's a stinker in these five.
Kevin, I think this is the perfect dose of FCS football to get us rolling this season. There are intricate storylines. Nonetheless, there are storylines. There are teams that have just been gutted and have a lot of holes that are being filled, and this is going to be the first time we see them take the field. And you also have teams that have bona fide quarterbacks who have been in lineups for 3+ years. You have FBS transfer quarterbacks playing for their teams for the very first time in week zero. So yeah, there's a lot going on in these five ball games, Kev.
And up first in our slate, number 11, Incarnate Word, is at Nichols. Stone, these are the last two teams to have won the Southland Conference. And lately, these two teams have been the class of the Southland Conference. Nichols had a tough year last year, right? But Nichols won the title in 2018, 2019, and 2023, while Incarnate Word has won it in 2021, 2022, and 2024, and they shared it in 2018. So these are the last two ball clubs to win the Southland Conference Championship. And there's some matchups that intrigue me. Incarnate Word, it's always going to start with the fellow that drives that football team is always going to be the quarterback position. They want to go fast on offense and then go faster. Last year, they tried to commit to the run a little bit more. I expect that to continue, to have some fellows who've come in on defense that can help them. But the big question is going to be for Incarnate Word, can Richard Torres be the guy at the quarterback position? Stone, you've been a backup quarterback. You've been the starter. Now, people say, I prepare the same. I can go on the field at any time. And we'd like to think that's true, but it's not really true, is it? When you're the starter, it's your football team. And when you're the backup, it's your job to support the guy whose football team it is. I think that with Torres, we'll see. They're going to elevate him to the starter. If he can do the type of job that Incarnate Word people say he can, maybe Incarnate Word is one of these teams this year that can push the Dakotas and the Montanas and maybe get to Nashville. But a lot of that's going to rest on his shoulders and whether he can push the ball down to football field.
It's actually very interesting, right? Because we talked a few segments ago about a lot of people having Incarnate Word in their top five preseason polls and whatnot. Guarantee you, majority of the people who have made those polls, majority of Incarnate Word fans, majority of FCS Nation all over the country has never seen Richard Torres take a snap. Has never seen Richard Torres throw a football if it weren't for the Incarnate Word Twitter team or their Instagram page. So that's one thing that I think people need to take into account. And Richard Torres is going against the guy on the other side of the field, been around the block. And when I say been around the block, I mean, we're talking about graduating seniors, right? Deuce Hogan comes in from New Mexico State. And when you're looking at a graduate senior in 2025, that includes that COVID year. So these kids have been in school for 6, sometimes 7 years. So Deuce Hogan comes in, he brings in Landon Abeda, a wide out from LSU, and all of a sudden this Nichols team, like you had mentioned, has history in winning this thing, and you get to take out an Incarnate Word team, or at least have an opportunity to take out an Incarnate Word team, not only show the Southland, but show the rest of the country, because we all will be watching. It's week zero, it's all that's on the screen, that hey, maybe Nichols has game this year, and hey, Incarnate Word, here we go again.
Number 7, Tarleton State is at Portland State. This one intrigues me, Stone. I got to sit down for a good long time at Big Sky Football Media Day in Spokane and talk to Bruce Barnum, who, if you ever have an opportunity to spend some time with that fella, do it. The guy's a national treasure. There's just no doubt in my mind. He was quietly confident in his football team this year. I think this Portland State team will finally start to see some of the fellas who they've recruited, and they've had very high recruiting classes in FCS here last two or three seasons. These guys are starting to hit the field. Portland State is going to be better at every position except for the quarterback position. But Stone, they've only had two quarterbacks since 2017 at Portland State until this year. There's a lot more around that quarterback, whoever it's going to be. It's a game time decision is what I was told. But Portland State's going to be better than Tarleton State. You had the Yotes on the ropes in the playoffs last year and let them back into the ball game and got beat. That one they've been thinking about all offseason. And look, the thing starts with Tarleton State with Victor Grabalis, their quarterback. He's a 3-year starter now, and he's as steady as they come. He's a big kid, 6'3", 210, stands in the pocket, delivers the football. There's a lot to like about what Victor Grabalis can bring to the table for the Texans. And I had him at number 7, like we talked about in segment 1, because of him. Because in a season where there's a dearth of quarterbacks, heck, that are even still playing at the same school they played at last year, much less playing and played at a level that Victor Gabalis did. It's going to be a good football game. It's at Portland State. I think anybody who thinks this is going to be a walkover for Tarleton State needs to have their head examined, sir.
They definitely do, and I'm a huge fan of it. The kid can sling it around the yard, and yeah, in this new college football climate that we have, it's nice to see a kid stay. It's nice to see a young man take pride in bringing a team like Tarleton into national prominence, and you know, they're coming off a 10-4 season, and you get a Portland State team who finished theirs 3-8, right? Everything is in front of you. You take it one game at a time, but you want to knock some of the cobwebs off, and you're going to watch this Tarleton State team get vertical down the field. You're going to watch Vic throw it 30, 35 times. That's what these guys do. But I think on the Portland State side, Bruce Barnum has been there for decade plus. He's got more returners than I think he has ever since I can remember. I mean, you're talking about six starters back on offense of the 11. That's huge. And if you're missing a few linemen, it's easy to feed those guys and get them beefed up, especially linemen. It's easier to learn systematically how you want to run an offense and those things. So I think Portland State comes in this game with nothing to lose. And because it's a week zero game, the spread's going to be somewhere around that three number. Wouldn't be surprised if it's even lower in a pick'em spot. This is a creepy one. Honestly, I think Portland State's got a shot. I don't necessarily know how that would look. There could be a lot of turnovers on the Tarleton State side, but look out for PSU. They could get this one done in week zero.
Idaho State is at UNLV of the FBS. Now, this one intrigues me because there aren't a lot of people giving Idaho State much of a chance in this thing, Stone. And I don't understand that because guess what Idaho State did last year? They scored touchdowns and they put points on the board, dude. And they also protected their quarterback, which is always a problem when you're playing these FBS teams. Is can your line hold up? This is an offensive line group, Stone, that only allowed 5 sacks all last season. That was the best in the football championship subdivision. And like I said, they put up points. I think this one could turn into a track meet in Vegas. And I don't think UNLV wants that. The problems that Idaho State had last year were on defensive side of football, and they were big problems. That's not sugarcoated in any way. And I think this is going to be a sneaky good ball game in Las Vegas, sir.
Yeah, Idaho State's not a complete pushover. We all remember the Oregon State game, 38-14, 15, I think it was. It wasn't that wide of a margin. Obviously, you walk into this game almost a 30-point dog. But like I said, they're not a pushover whatsoever. This is a lot more than just showing up to Vegas for a paycheck. I can tell you that much right now. So I see it being a very similar scoreline to Oregon State. I like Idaho State this year in general, too. And UNLV obviously missing Marion, obviously missing 90% of that staff. And all those players go out the window too, so there's no better time to snipe them than right now.
And look, Idaho State is in an enviable position, right? They're going to Las Vegas for a paycheck. I mean, there aren't too many people that do that. Most of the time, people leave there without one. Also, the Bengals have this going for them, Stone. I mean, they have a wealth of Hawkinses on their staff. I mean, most people don't have one Hawkins. Well, Idaho State's got two, Cody and his dad, Dan. Let's not overlook the Hawkins advantage in this game that Idaho State has. I think this one's a four-quarter ball game, and the numbers that they're giving out on this one, I just don't know, y'all. I think Idaho State will be in this ball game a lot longer than the UNLV fans will be comfortable with. The preview segment will roll on right after these messages from our sponsors. Looking to gain a real edge on game day? GameStrat is the number one choice for in-game video in the FCS and is trusted by championship programs at every level. With instant access to in-game video, lightning-fast uploads, and no internet required, GameStrat helps coaches make real-time adjustments that win football games. It's easy to use, ultra-reliable, and backed by top-rated support. Don't settle for less. Upgrade to GameStrat and keep up with what the top programs in the country are choosing for their in-game video. Visit GameStrat.com to learn more and schedule your demo today. That's GameStrat.com. Number 9 Mercer versus number 14 UC Davis from the FCS kickoff down in Alabama. I'm intrigued by this one, Stone. UC Davis, a lot of people have them ranked higher than we do. And I think for the people who think we're hating on Davis, we had Davis ranked a lot higher last year at earlier points in the season than most people did. You recall that, Stone? But Mercer, DJ Smith, quarterback is going to make such a huge difference for them. And we've had this discussion. Week zero, experience, steady hand at the quarterback position. Not necessarily to know when to do something, but to know when not to do something, right? Don't make that throw that could turn into a pick six, or don't try to get that extra couple of yards that's going to lead to a fumble. We expect the experienced guys not to do that, and I believe they will. But UC Davis is going to be a very formidable opponent for Mercer, and for UC Davis, you have an opportunity here. Prove us and wrong, and I'll eat a SoCon crow sandwich. I really like this Mercer football team. Our defense was awesome last year, and I feel like if the Mercer defense of 2025 can play 75% as good as the Mercer defense of 2024 did, this is going to be a hell of a season for those Bears from Macon, Georgia.
I love this matchup. We talked in segment one after you listed off our preseason top 25 poll. One, why we didn't have UC Davis as high as everybody else, and then why we had Mercer so high on our list. So we're going to get answers. Double-sided sword here. I always talk about returning guys. I think it's the general thing to do in a week zero preview segment. But for Mercer, seven guys returning on offense, that's a lot. Parlay that with a senior quarterback in DJ Smith. This team is just beaming with confidence and foaming at the mouth to find out who that opponent is and get eyes on them. And I think for UC Davis, there are holes everywhere. Mercer, a team that is known to come out of the gates firing. And defensively, they want to stifle you. So I think this is a game where you're going to see Mercer posted as the underdog, but that's just on paper, because on the field in between those white lines, this Mercer team as it stands right now is better than that UC Davis team. And I think they show that. And like I had mentioned, it's a prove it game for both, but I'm all over Mercer on this one. I cannot wait for these odds to get posted just so I can prove myself right. And maybe I sprinkle, but I think Mercer, they're a dog here. That's laughable, because this team thinks they can go win it all this year. Just ask them.
Up next, North Carolina Central versus Southern in the MEAC SWAC Challenge from Atlanta. Well, Stone, the goal for HBCU football is to end the season in Atlanta, playing for the Celebration Bowl. Well, these two squads, North Carolina Central and Southern, they're going to start the year in Alabama, and they also going to hope that they're there when the season is over, playing for the Celebration Bowl championship. And I think there's a couple of names in this one that are going to be very, very key. And one of them is Walker Harris for North Carolina Central. Excellent quarterback. He gets them in the right positions. He does the right things. And Southern, nobody's really going to know who's going to start a quarterback for them in this MEAC SWAC Challenge, but they have two guys who have played. And Jalen Woods, he played six games for Southern last year and looked pretty good. And Cameron McCoy, he played for Jackson State last year, and he saw some playing time as well. I think Walker Harris probably the difference in this one. Like we've said in every game that we've talked about, this early, the team with the more experienced quarterback, I do believe, has the advantage. FCS Nation, these week zero games aren't the only competition that's heating up. Stone Labanowitz and I are so pleased to announce that our partnership with Northwestern Mutual and the Albertsons Lemonade Stand Foundation is back for the 2025 season. We have more teams this year, more athletes, but the same goal, to end pediatric cancer. I hope you'll join us. Our schools this year, this list is outstanding. We've got South Dakota State, South Dakota, North Dakota State, North Dakota, Richmond, the Citadel, Furman, Davidson, Weber State, Villanova, Southern Illinois, Central Arkansas, Northern Arizona, Florida A&M, Howard, Illinois State, Mercer, Montana State, Colgate, and UAlbany. Fans, we're going to impact so many children and help so many people. Please log on to our website, fcsnationradio.com. Go to the top of the page, click Alex's Lemonade Stand. There'll be a lot more information forthcoming in next week's show. We're excited, we're proud, and I know Stone and I would like to thank Chris Schenkel from the office in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, for spearheading and being the leader of this initiative between Northwestern Mutual, FCS Nation, and Alex's Lemonade Stand to raise money to end childhood cancer.
Season three, here we go, baby. Last season, did some damage, almost $70,000 the season prior, a little under that $50,000 mark. That obviously equals well over $100,000, but our goal this year is 110% six figures, and we're going to touch it. We got some big hitters, some big schools as additions. You heard Kev rattle off schools like Montana State. Davidson's going to be in the mix this year. The Lumberjacks of Northern Arizona, they're going to put up a fight. A lot of new schools have been thrown into the mix, thrown into the ring, and I think they're going to put up a fight here because South Dakota State, Montana State, right? Those are the favorites, but you're going to hear from the representatives, the athletes that are representing not only their school, but like Kevin mentioned, children all over the country. You're going to hear from them weekly on our Honorary Captains of the Week segments. And what's unique is you're going to get to learn a little bit more about these players, but also what it's like inside these teams' locker rooms on a week-to-week basis. You're going to talk to some of these athletes the week leading up to the biggest rivalry game of the season. So you're getting scoops. You're getting the inside details that people pay for, that you subscribe to these writers and these journalists. We're giving it to you weekly right here, obviously, for one of the greatest causes imaginable. Right, and that's raising money for not only research, but procedures that are needed all over the country to, again, like Kevin mentioned, stomp out pediatric cancer and do what we can. So we're excited for season 3. Shout out Chris Schenkel. Shout out all of the managing partners and offices all over the country. Most importantly, shout out FCS Nation, because you guys are going to be the one that ultimately drives this thing. We're excited. You're going to have video interviews. There's so much in store for you guys. Season 3, like I mentioned, the goal, well over $100,000. We're doing it right now. We got the guys. Welcome back into FCS Nation, of course, on the Palmetto Radio Network. That was the preview segment. This is us previewing the entire season at scale, because I want to preview a certain something with you, Kevin, that we've had a plethora of offseason discussions about. It seems to, I don't know, kind of be leading the race in the FCS offseason discourse, and that is that this season in 2025 is different in the past 5, 6, 7 seasons, because it feels, and I'm putting air quotes around this, wide open. There is no clear cut one. There's just not. There are too many holes on some of these rosters of schools that we expect, right, to just kind of reload and take the field and be dominant and be favored heavily. Well, those coaches are even gone, right, when you look at South Dakota State. So the entire recruiting cycle resets and these coaches have to do it from scratch again. Kevin, just asking you bluntly, is the subdivision wide open this year?
I think so, and I'll tell you why. Cam Miller doesn't play at North Dakota State anymore. Gray Zabel, the number 17 overall pick in the draft by the Seattle Seahawks, doesn't play on the offensive line for North Dakota State anymore. Mark Ranowski isn't going to run out for the Jackrabbits this year. Tommy Malott now plays for the Las Vegas Raiders. He's not going to run out in Bozeman in a Montana State jersey anymore. And I think that you hit the nail on the head there. There's holes. Now, there are holes and question marks every season, but I can't remember all of these top squads having this many all at the same time, okay? I mean, just imagine you're the next guy who's going to play quarterback at Montana State, and a quarterback's coach says, no big deal, son. I just need you to go out there and do for me everything that Tommy Malott did for this football team the last 4 seasons, right? That's impossible. Diagnose the line of scrimmage like a surgeon, the way that Cam Miller did last season. I want you to be able to know exactly where the ball is going to go on the field, when to check out of plays, the way that Mark Gronowski did for the Jackrabbits. Not going to happen, right? I don't care how good the replacement is. Those guys are irreplaceable. And it's unfair to the people that are coming in to ask them to be those guys, because they can't. If you're one of the squads who isn't a Montana school or a Dakota school, you've got to kind of be looking at this bunch up there like, this could be the year. This could be the year. Maybe it's just hope springs eternal for the other schools in the subdivision. Maybe we're just going to see these teams reload. I think for the good of the subdivision, it'd be great if somebody else is able to step up and challenge this bunch that seems to be grouped at the top and has been for a while. But I say Montana schools and Dakota schools. I mean, we're including South Dakota in that. You know, they had their best season in a long time last year, and you know, they didn't play for the national championship. So even the Yotes, if they can get there, would be a kind of refreshing thing. It wouldn't just be a North Dakota State, South Dakota State, Montana, Montana State. Even South Dakota would be somebody who you could look at and say is an outsider. But there's one thing, we talked about it all during this show, and we're going to talk about it in the pick segment, which is coming up next. What's been the key denominator that we talked about? A common theme, Stone.
Quarterbacks.
Is teams with Well, it's teams with experienced quarterbacks. Well, South Dakota certainly has that in Aiden Bauman. So it's going to be very interesting this year. Illinois State has an experienced guy under center. Tarleton State has Gabalis under center. He's a hell of a player. And that's why we discussed it earlier. Why is Idaho number five in our poll? Because they have a guy whose last name is Wood, who everybody's going to know his name after 3, 4, 5 weeks of this season. And Montana, well, they've got some guys on the roster, but for some reason, they don't like to settle on a quarterback. They like the controversy of it. I don't begin to understand it. It's worked for them to a certain extent. So who am I? Right to question. But Mercer, good quarterback coming back. And I think there's one team that I have circled that is going to be very, very nice to allow you to talk about. Southern Illinois, the injury bug at the quarterback position last year, Stone. They had to bring a graduate assistant off the sideline wearing a whistle to finish out the season at the quarterback position for them. Hell, if he'd have got hurt, they'd have called you, Lobanowitz. And God knows there ain't nobody want to see that again, right? But Southern Illinois is a team that intrigues me. They had a lot of pieces last year. They have a lot of pieces coming back. The only thing they were really missing was somebody to bring it all together. And I think DJ Williams could be that guy.
I absolutely can. So much gold in there, Kevin. I honestly don't know where to start, but my mind is stuck on some perspective that you gave me when it comes to replacing a guy like Tommy Mellott, when it comes to replacing a guy like Mark Gronowski, aka 2024 Lemon Trophy winner. Listen, those film sessions are what's really, really going to be the toughest job for Vegan, for Jackson, in those quarterback meetings, all of that tape from last season, all of the tape from the last 4 seasons is of Tommy Mellott probably not playing within the rules of the offense, not playing by the book, doing things his own way. Like I said, it's just impossible to replicate. Same thing with Mark Gronowski. What he was able to do off script is just not something you find off the street. Hopefully Chase learned a thing or two heading into this season. So I'm trying to figure out a way for the audience listening to realize that I'm not biased in this opinion and in this take, that done my due diligence. And I know that you're talking about Aiden Bauman, that you're talking about Tommy Rittenhouse. Like, you're talking about some of these quarterbacks in the Valley who are star-studded and have very high expectations. DJ Williams for the Salukis is sitting in a blind spot. And I think that's right where he wants to be. He's a Murray State transfer. They kicked the season off going into FBS territory, into Sharkey waters. But what he's going to do this year, I think I'll say this right now on the preseason show, that DJ Williams will be a Walter Payton Award finalist. That second to last game season, I will be in the booth for that South Dakota game, front and center to watch the DJ show. I'm so excited for this kid. He's a humble servant. He's a follower of Christ, but also he will put his helmet in your chest. And when you watch, go back and go find the box score for an Incarnate Word game, a top 10 Incarnate Word team at the time, that he went for almost 300 yards in the air and 90 on the ground, 3 total touchdowns. DJ Williams has game, Kev. Southern Illinois is a bona fide dark horse in the FCS this season. And that is not just because I am an alum and I used to play quarterback there. He's for real. They are for real. They're going to do a lot of damage in the Valley because it's gutted right now. The gutted, we talk about the FCS, the top 25, and this season being wide open. The Missouri Valley is wide open, regardless of what you think, regardless of South Dakota bringing some of those pivotal guys back. It's point blank, period, wide open in the Valley, and it's up for the taking. And I think Southern Illinois has a real shot this season.
Well, Stone, that was a pretty good conversation, I think. And I'm just, look, the dark horse talk and talking season. Well, she's about almost over. We got 5 games we're going to pick in the next segment from week 0. And then next week, we got a full slate of ball games, y'all, all the top teams in the country taking the field next week. I can't wait. I know Lobanowitz can't wait. But coming up next is the pick segment where Stone Lobanowitz and I go head to head and we'll pick all the ball games from week 0 in the football championship subdivision. I know you'll want to hang out for that. We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
And we're back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Y'all, this here is my favorite time of the week. It's the pick segment. This is when Stone Lebanowitz and I go head-to-head, and we pick the biggest games taking place in FCS football. In our Week 0 matchups, up first, number 11, Incarnate Word, is at Nichols. Who you got, Stone? Number 11, Incarnate Word, on the road at Nichols.
I can't believe I'm doing this right off the bat, Kevin, but this right here is an upset special of the week. I'm going Nichols straight up. I expect this line to be spit out at us around 7. I think the Cardinals will be favored by a touchdown here, but I'm pushing my chips to the center of the table on Deuce Hogan and the LSU transfer Landon Abeda. I think these are two guys who want to come in, make a statement in a conference where, regardless of how it finished the season prior, is always up for the taking. Not that it's been grabbed by teams, but in the transfer portal era, you're watching Zach Calzada take snaps for the Kentucky Wildcats, a lot of their skill players, which is why that team was as good as they were last year, or at least some points of the season, not when they got 60 balled by the Jacks. But I just think that Nichols wants to come in and make a statement here, so give me Nichols over Incarnate Word 30-28.
And people thought that I was the hater when it came to Incarnate Word. I disagree with this one, Stone. And for me, it comes down to the quarterback. That was a pretty good discussion you just had with yourself there, talking yourself into picking Nichols. I didn't need to talk myself into picking Incarnate Word in this one. Comes down to the quarterbacks, like I said. I think Richard Torres this week is going to take the first step along that path to being the next great quarterback for Incarnate Word. Deuce Hogan, they'll put up some numbers. Nichols will put up some points. And look, if they can find a way to win the football game, they throw the whole subdivision into chaos in Week 0. And that might not be the worst thing in the world. That might please me to no end. But I just don't think it's going to happen. Tommy Rybecki, the new head coach for Nichols, he was a defensive coordinator for a long time. He's a defensive guy, right? And he's going to need every bit of his skill in this one. And I believe the word this week is victory. Take number 11, Incarnate Word, on the road over Nichols, 34-26. Number 7, Tarleton State is at Portland State, a matchup of Texans and Viking. Historically, this could never happen, right? I think it'd be a really interesting battle, Vikings versus Texans, but on the football field in Week 0, who you got, Tarleton State or Portland State?
Kevin, we had an interesting conversation, not only about this game, but the rest of the ones that we will pick, but we did mention Tarleton State, Portland State, and we talked about how this one is a good example in these Week 0 games. It's already hard enough to handicap these lines, these totals in some of these games, especially the transfer portal era has hit the subdivision and hit it hard for all the right reasons. When you talk about Nichols, right, you're bringing a New Mexico State former starter, you're bringing an LSU wide receivers got snapped, so you got a lot of guys coming on the roster that nobody has laid their eyes on yet. So you would think Tarleton State, especially where everybody has them, they're a bona fide top 10 team, is going to be favored by a lot. I just have a feeling, and I think partially because I talked about Portland State returning so many guys, 6 on the offensive side of the ball and how important that is, 34 on that roster coming back, this spread will be a little lower, but I think Tarleton State ultimately blows them out of the water. So give me Tarleton State, give me the Texans, 42-17 on top of the Vikes.
I think Tarleton State wins the football game too, and the difference is quarterback Victor Gabal. There's no doubt in my mind. He's a difference maker. He's a player. Portland State is replacing their quarterback from a year ago. Give me the experienced guy in Week 0. I think Portland State will be a good football team a month down the road, and they'll do what they normally do, which is they'll beat some people they really probably shouldn't, and they'll do that this season too. They just won't do it this week. Take number 7, Tarleton State, on the road over Portland State in a close ball game, y'all. 38-35. Up next, Idaho State is at UNLV of the FBS. Bengals and Rebels. I like this matchup, Stone. This might be my really sneaky good game of the week that maybe not a lot of people think is going to be a good one. I do.
I love it. And those are the kinds of things that we bring to the table, Kevin. There's not many people that know or can predict that Idaho State's going to put up a fight against a team in the FBS. I know UNLV is not a world beater, but neither is Idaho State, not even in the FCS. So it's very interesting. It's a coin flip to even try to handicap, although, like I mentioned, probably a 4-touchdown favorite. I think Idaho State in that scoreline mirrors what they did against Oregon State last year, and that one finished 38-15, so I'm putting that same exact scoreline on paper here. I like the Bengals, but give me UNLV 38-15.
I think UNLV is going to win the football game, but I like Idaho State this year. They're going to be so much better, and in this ball game in particular, they're going to hang around in this one. They're going to make UNLV fans very uncomfortable, Stone, and they're going to score, and I believe they'll do it frequently, but in the end, I think UNLV will score a couple of more touchdowns touchdowns in the fourth quarter, make this thing look worse than it was. Take UNLV over Idaho State in Vegas, 42-31. Number 9, Mercer is at number 14, UC Davis. FCS kickoff from Alabama. Number 9, Mercer versus number 14, UC Davis. This was the one I struggled to pick the most, Stone.
That's odd. I didn't struggle with this one whatsoever. I think Mercer wins this one outright, and I do think UC Davis is favored, so I think you're looking at a plus money barking dog here on the Bears. Mercer, a team that, at least when I watch them early on in seasons, they're just flying around the field. You talked about schematically what they do. You see four backer sets back there, two of them snuffing A gaps. Like, this team wants to hit you in the mouth, and they don't want to let you run the football. They want that ball to take flight because they have a lot of confidence. You're going to see them play a higher percentage of man coverage than, I don't know, 60, 70% of teams in the entirety of the FCS just because of what they do and how much heat they send you in that front seven. And like I mentioned, those backers running the alleys all night long, sometimes during the day. I think Mercer slaps UC Davis in the mouth because UC Davis doesn't know who they are right now. I think they don't have an identity. They are trying to replace a UC Davis legend in Miles Hastings. I just think this is the wrong team that you want in a week zero matchup with all eyes on you, because Mercer is going to just plain and simply take advantage of the opportunity. So give me the Bears here, 28-17.
I agree, Stone. This is my upset special of the week. UC Davis is favored in this football game. We have Mercer ranked higher. Our jobs are not the same. The people who are making the lines and us trying to see who's the better football team, take number 9, Mercer, over number 14, UC Davis, 28-20. North Carolina Central versus Southern in the MEAC SWAC Challenge from Atlanta, Georgia. Who you got in the MEAC SWAC Challenge, Stone? North Carolina Central or Southern?
I got Trey Oliver's group by a whole hell of a lot here. Give me North Carolina Central, 48, Southern 15.
I agree. I like North Carolina Central in this one. And that brings us to the end of another episode of FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. I want to thank all of y'all for giving us a listen this week and invite you right back here next week as we'll preview and pick all the games taking place on the greatest day in any calendar year, the opening Saturday of college football. FCS Nation is co-hosted and produced by Mr. Stone Labanowitz. I'm executive producer and host Kevin Marshall, thanking you for making FCS Nation a small part of your football week. And like I always do, y'all, I'd like to remind you that life's a lot like football. You play by the rules and the penalties won't kill you. Until next week, so long, everybody.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.